Hey guys, episode 45, keep climbing upwards. Doing good? Carrie, how you?
I am doing really good. Appreciate it. Thanks. Hello, everyone.
Absolutely. As everybody knows who's ever listened to us before, I'm Jen.
I'm Carrie.
Carrie over here with me. And I think today we decided on doing Secret Window.
That is correct. We are doing Fascinating Secret Window.
And it is that. But before we get into that, couple of notes. Number one, guys, I misquoted. I said the wrong thing. Last week, I said that Zoe showed her baby bump in March. I was wrong. It was June 30th at the BAFTA Awards, 2022 BAFTA Awards, that it was noticed that she was carrying. So, I do apologize for that. I said March last time, so, but we're still looking at probably an October, November birth.
Yeah, right. It's still before the end of the year. And, you know, again, Hiddleston is infamous for keeping things kind of under wraps.
So is Zoe, apparently.
Yeah, wow. And, you know, I think that would be one of the keys of a great relationship when the both of you feel that it's very important for it to be a private relationship, and you know how to do it.
Well, they both grew up in very popular homes, you know, with her her grandfather being in politics and with everything, you know, all of that, and then of course Hiddleston's family, his mom was in the showbiz, so
right, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they probably learned from a very young age that that's the best way to deal with that type of thing is you keep the two worlds separate. You have your private life, and you have your public one. And thus far, unfortunately, they are doing very well at keeping them separate.
I say congrats.
Oh, absolutely. I wish them both the absolute 100% best. But this is a Johnny week this week, and I learned a few things today that one of them makes me very happy and very sad at the same time.
Okay, that's interesting.
Okay.
Let's hear the details.
Johnny Depp and Jeff Beck put out an album not too long ago. Well, Jeff is going to be touring the United States. He's going to be touring North America, which made me very, very happy when I saw that one of the tour dates was in my home state, not too far away from me. And then I realized that Johnny wasn't joining Jeff Beck until 4 days after the tour in my state. So guys, I've got the full list of tour dates that Johnny is expected to be at. It's on the blog if you'd like to check it out. DeppHeadsHiddleStoners.com, or you can go to BarryReese.net and hit the link. Either way. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster. But yeah, the tour dates that I've listed now, guys, these are not the Jeff Beck tour dates. These are only the dates that Johnny is supposed to be with him. So Jeff will be touring before those dates. And I did not include those on the blog, so just keep that in mind. If he's the one you want to hear, there are other more tour dates out there, earlier tour dates out there. You can, I'm sure you can look them up online, find them out.
Yeah, he's a legend. I'm sure he puts on a hell of a show.
Oh, I'm sure he does. It'd definitely be a show worth seeing. However, the kind of money they're asking for concert tickets nowadays,
yeah.
I'm not spending that if Johnny's not going to be there.
Yeah. I'm going to a show in October, like a venue, and I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's not just that. I mean, it's everything. Plus, you got to pay for parking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to see Meshuggah, right?
Yeah. Wow. See Meshuggah in Houston.
And luckily, you have family in Houston, so.
Yeah. Right. Well, and, you know, I don't have to pay for parking. Plus, some of the family is going, so this is a bonding experience over a technical death metal group. Family. love my family.
You know, I thought me and my kids were the only ones that could actually use that phrase. But wow.
Yeah.
The other thing I do want to mention is Johnny's guest appearance at the MTV's VMA Awards. I've heard some sneers, I've heard some jeers, I've heard some good things. Fact is, I thought he was funny as hell. I really did. His comments beforehand, talking about the reason he took it was because he needed the job. That was kind of funny. But he also pointed out, he says, quote, "I just want you guys to know I'm available for birthdays, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, weddings, wakes, any old thing you need, you name it. Oh, I'm also a dentist." I thought it was hilarious.
That is pretty.
But yeah, I've read several nasty comments about it. But the fact
What do you mean there were cheers?
I can't believe that. You know, the VMAs are trash anyway, and now it's even worse, mostly from the opposing side, hashtag I support the other one. Some of the comments were valid. A lot of the outfits were outrageous, but it's MTV, guys. They're gonna be.
Yeah.
You don't like it, it's real simple. Don't watch it.
Yeah. This is where Lady Gaga did the meet dress people.
Yes, so. Absolutely. And where Katy Perry did... which one did she do? Was it the balloon dress or was it the candy? I can't remember.
It might have been both.
But yeah, Katy Perry did one of the outrageous food dresses as well at the VMAs.
Yeah, and then Miley Cyrus did her thing,
Oh, yeah.
With the pandas and whatnot.
Yeah. And I mean, it's real simple, people. If you don't like it, don't watch it. You know what it's going to be. You know what the venue and the attitude is. You know how outrageous these people are going to be. Don't watch it just to complain about it and to say how awful it was. If you don't like it, turn it off.
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't have to, have an opinion on something that you're watching that you don't like in the first place.
Right. Freedom of choice. Hey,
yeah.
We have that right. Well, some of us do, anyway.
Okay.
One other thing I wanted to mention before we get into it.
Okay.
I'm a very big TikTok fan. Love TikTok.
Okay.
I ran across, the group is called Button Poetry. Button Poetry. It's varied as to the content. However, I do want to give a shout out to one of the poets. Her name is Blythe Baird. And my favorite one of hers is called Girl Code 101.
It was very powerful. You're right. I saw it.
It's striking. It's powerful. It's moving. And unfortunately, dear God, it is so true. So, I just wanted to give her a shout out. You guys, take a listen to, or take a look at Button Poetry on TikTok. See something you like, tell them Depp Heads and Hiddlestoners sent you.
Yeah.
And I think that's everything. Except for the show itself, of course. All right. Carrie, I know you said you hadn't seen Secret Window for a good minute, but you remember it, right?
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah, it was pretty, memorable. It's probably been, 15 years maybe?
Oh, wow. Okay, so it has been a minute.
Yeah.
It's probably been a good 5 or 6 since I watched it.
Yeah, I've got pretty good recall, generally, with movies, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You This one is really hard to forget, though.
Yeah, right. I thought it was really fantastic.
And here's the thing. I didn't realize that the movie, because I watched the movie, but of course you never pay attention to the credits, did not realize that this was based on a short story by Stephen King until I saw the book with Johnny Depp's picture on it at the local bookstore. Had to pick it up, of course. And yeah, I didn't. And when I picked it up, I'm thinking, oh, okay, it's about the movie. No, dumb. No, it's the actual book. But yeah, I ended up reading the story, and they are extremely similar. Very much so.
I was wondering how, you know, I never read the book, and I was wondering how well it correlated.
There are a couple of differences, but up until the very end, it's pretty much spot on. It was directed by David, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Koepp?
Looks like
Koepp, okay. Sir, I'm sorry if I pronounce your name wrong. You got Johnny Depp. You've got John Turturro as John Shooter. You've got Maria Bello as Amy Rainey, Mort Rainey's ex-wife. Timothy Hutton as Ted Milner, who is the ex-wife's lover. And Charles S. Dutton as Ken Karsh, who's the private investigator that Mort Rainey hires. So you've got a lot of names that you've heard before, but most of them you cannot call the face to mind. I noticed when I was, you know, doing the research on this, when I said John Turturro, you knew that name instantly, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I love John Turturro. I'm a big Coen Brothers fan, and John Turturro's just been in a lot of stuff.
What about the others? Any of the other names?
So, yeah. I kind of know Maria Bello. Timothy Hutton was kind of a big thing. I hate to like give away our age or whatever.
I'll go right
but
ahead.
He was big back in the day when we were kids, and I remember him in Taps, which was the first time I saw him. I saw Tom Cruise. That was one of Tom Cruise's first roles, and he was in The Falcon and the Snowman. I mean, he was a big deal kind of in the 80s. And hey, he's still an accomplished actor.
Absolutely.
He was on Leverage. I loved Leverage on TNT. Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of names that you've heard before, a lot that you don't, yeah, you can't just call the face to mind is how it was for me. Now, when I saw the face.
Yeah, Bello's been in a lot of stuff, but I can't quite put my finger on a single one of the things that she's been in.
Except for this one.
Except for this. Well, now, right.
But, yeah. And when I saw her picture, I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, I've seen that face.
Yeah,
same thing with Charles Dutton. You know, big black guy.
Yeah.
He
was in Gothica with Halle Berry.
Yes. Yes,
that
yes.
Guy.
Yes, that guy. It's good to be king. Yeah, but the name rung a bell, but I didn't associate the name with the face till I saw the picture. Now, IMDb only gave this one a 6.5. Rotten Tomatoes only gave it a 46%. And Metacritic, which is, it's like an overall blend of, or average of the critics and the, audience grades, they only gave it a 46 out of 100. So, not real wonderful, but not horrible. Budget for this one was $40 million. Box office, you want to take a guess?
$55 to $60 million.
No. 92.9, almost 93 million was box office.
Oh, wow. Okay. I figured it was kind of mixed and just broke even, but okay, it made some money. Great.
Well, there's a reason for that. Okay. They actually moved the release date up by a month because of how big and huge Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl was. So they were kind of riding on Johnny's success on the coattails of that movie, throwing this one out there just as quick as they could so that, you know, oh, it's another Johnny Depp movie. Let's go see it.
Yeah.
And it worked. It worked. But that's...
Yeah, okay, we're nice.
That is one of the big reasons that that the movie did as well as it did was that they moved the date up so that it could kind of ride along the Pirates of the Caribbean coattails.
The coattails, right.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. They do it all the time. Now, there are a lot of movie references that I didn't catch watching this the first or second or fifth time. And I think I told you a few of them that kind of blew you away.
Yeah, and I love all the references.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've got an even longer list of other movies that have referenced this one. So
okay.
If we don't have time to get into those, I'll definitely give y'all a where to find kind of thing.
Yeah, I really, really love all of the, I don't know, it is a movie-gasm. So a lot of this came from Stephen King's writings, and Stephen King left some Easter eggs.
Oh, definitely.
In the work. And so...
Yes, yes, yes. And the short story was not as blatant as, of course, the visual movie was. But, like the, let's see, there's a line. Mort Rainey is looking in the mirror, and he says, when Sister Victoria learned the truth about the windows, she withdrew the school from the, she withdrew the school from the competition.
Okay.
That is a direct quote from Rosemary's Baby.
Okay.
That line is actually in the first dream Rosemary has in the beginning of the movie. So, when I heard Johnny Depp say the line, I knew I had heard the line before and could not figure out where I had heard it from. And it was driving me crazy. But now that I know where it came from, Rosemary's Baby, which I have only seen once and I was 12 at the time.
Yeah.
I will not watch it again. Not happening. That movie.
Pretty horrifying.
That movie, still to this day, scares me more than any other horror flick they have ever put out. But yeah, now that I know where it's from, I'm going to have to look up the Rosemary's Baby deal and get a clearer image of when that line and what that line is in reference to.
Yeah, I wonder if you could find it on YouTube.
You know, I didn't think about that. I probably could. However, I'm not sure I want to see the scene.
Okay, gotcha,
I just want
gotcha,
to read
right.
up as to what it is in reference to. Oh, yes, that movie terrified me, still terrifies me to this day.
Yeah.
What was the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Oh, The Exorcist. Absolutely.
Even over and above, like, Poltergeist or any of the, like, slasher flicks that are out now?
Yep.
Oh, wow, okay.
Slasher flicks never really scared. Poltergeist was fairly scary, but The Thing, actually John Carpenter's The Thing, the original, that scared the fucking shit out of me.
That, yes, agreed. Absolutely.
And maybe The Fog, you know, but The Exorcist singularly really. And Jaws. Jaws actually scared the shit out of me.
Jaws 3 is the reason I won't go into the underground or the underwater tunnels in the Atlanta Aquarium. Absolutely not. Not gonna happen. No way. No shape. No form. No, no.
Yeah, okay.
My kids tried to get me to go when they had first reopened after the remodel and all that kind of good stuff. Yes, I'm telling my age. Kids tried to get me to do the underwater. Mm-mm. Nope. Sorry, guys. Y'all can go in with your grandparents. I'll be right here.
Well, it must be understood that people that were kind of, you know, born and raised around these Gulf states, and I know that Jaws kind of took place, you know, the New England coast or whatever, but we are really, really, really into the beach, and Jaws traumatized a great deal of us.
Yes, yes, it did. Anybody who
I remember when we got finished watching it, we went to a Denny's with my dad right after the movie, and we were still in this weird state, and I had to go to the bathroom, and I wouldn't because I was afraid a shark was going to be waiting for me in the Denny's bathroom.
Mm. And that's even before Land Shark.
Yeah, that was before Land Shark. No, yeah, right. No.
But yeah, Stephen King now. Master of horror, everybody agrees. One movie that scared me to absolute death that I rewatched and tried to figure out what was so scary was Children of the Corn.
Yeah.
First time I saw that movie, it terrified me.
Yeah.
So I had to show it to my kids. You gotta watch it. You gotta see this. It's terrifying. You'll never see anything scarier. And we're watching this movie, and it's 3/4 of the way over, and one of my 6-year-old kids looks at me and says, "Okay, Mom, when's it get scary?"
Wow. You jaded little creatures.
The problem was I had to agree with him.
Well, that one, though, the cast, the kid that played Malachi.
Whoa.
And the other kid, the main
Isaiah.
Kid.
Isaiah.
Isaiah. Fantastic actors, and they were just menacing freaking children, and it is Children of the Corn. You don't see a whole lot of movies where the antagonist is a child, and you're like, I appreciate the makeup, but you're not really that scared. Those kids were menacing.
They were, and, you know, we say kids, they were, I think Malachi, I would put him at maybe 12, 13?
Yeah, young teen.
Now, when we were growing up, that was still considered a child.
Right.
Because, for the most part, we still acted like children at that age.
Yeah.
Nowadays, not so much. But yeah, back then, that was definitely still a child. Some other references to King's works. There are a couple of different references to The Shining.
Always. Uh-huh. There are some references to King's works and his works.
I couldn't even finish that book. I am
really?
An avid reader, and I could not finish The Shining.
Wow.
Why?
Let's talk about it. How come? Was
I have too active an imagination.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't get away from the words on the page. So whatever I would read, if I would close my eyes, I would see it. So, yeah. Could not handle that for too long. So, finally, I just put it down. I said, I know how it ends. I've heard the stories. So, yeah, we're just going to let that go.
Well, and if you don't mind my saying, I love how we're talking about Johnny Depp and intersecting with Stephen King because, again, people of a certain age remember, like, Stephen King books and people reading those books. And not, like, his newer stuff, but stuff like Carrie, The Shining.
Salem's Lot.
The Stand, The Salem's Lot, you know. And they were kind of events when they came out, and people still read. And that shit was fucking scary.
Oh, yeah.
Reading Skeleton Crew. you know, and that was a short story collection.
What was it? Not Salem's Lot. What was it? Pet Cemetery.
Oh my God! Yeah, like, you know, whoa. Jesus Christ, Pet Cemetery. So you're literally talking about you couldn't finish The Shining,
right?
Because you were
an adult.
Yeah. Right. Well, and this is as an adult, right? It's terrifying, you know.
I mean, honestly,
some of us read some of the stuff when we were like, well, Malachi's age. Frankly, I think I read my first Stephen King when I was 12, and I was crapping.
Wow. But see, if I had picked up The Shining when I was 12, 13, 14, 15, I probably would not have had a problem. But the antagonist going after the child, you know, all of that, me being an adult and a mom, you know, just kind of freaked me out.
Got you.
The red jacket, the red cord jacket that, that Rainey wears.
Yeah.
Is patterned after the one that Jack Torrance wears in The Shining. Both of them are writers. Both of the movies.
That's awesome. I remember that. Wow.
Both of the movies contain scenes where the writer writes the same word repeatedly over and over again.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of other references to King's work, Dolores Claiborne. There's a scene in Secret Window where Mort Rainey looks in the mirror and hallucinates that he's seeing the back of his own head. That's also in Dolores Claiborne.
Weird.
And, not Stephen King, but another huge reference is to Jurassic Park.
How's that?
Now, the director, David Koepp, he wrote the screenplay for Jurassic Park. Now, the scene at the very beginning where Mort's having a bad night and he's really restless and it shows the scenes of the ocean, that's a cut scene from the original Jurassic Park.
That's convenient.
As well, there is, and I'm not sure, it's got to be an homage to Jurassic Park and not the other way around. In Jurassic Park, when the kids are trying to get away from the velociraptors in the kitchen, they hide in the dumbwaiter.
Okay.
Right? And then they lock one of the velociraptors in the freezer. Both of those scenes are from the movie adaptation of The Shining.
Wow. 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 He went through a lot of effort there, the director.
He knew what he wanted.
Yeah.
Speaking of. Yeah. Yeah, we've discussed different things like last week about how the director was rubbing Tom Hiddleston's shoulders to get the right sound for a certain scene. You know, the things that these guys will go to, the lengths they'll go to get the right expression, the right feel, the right look. Yeah, no, I could not be an actress. I would piss myself and quit. After the house burns down, there's a scene where Mort goes to the hotel where his wife and her lover are staying. And he's supposed to burst in the door all crazy. They're supposed to be shocked, scared, not really knowing what's going on. But they couldn't get the right facial expressions. So they gave him a break. And then the director set up, had the sound people set up speakers so that it played static noise at just weird intervals.
Which is, disorienting.
Right. And unbeknownst to them, the lights in the room were rigged to come on when the door opened, which the two actors, Bello and Hutton, didn't know anything about. So, of course, they play this static noise. They're already on edge. Then he makes them wait. He puts them on set, gets them ready, tells them action, and they wait. For 15 minutes or more, they wait. With the static blaring, and all of a sudden, the door bursts open, the lights pop up. That's how they got the expression. It went off in one take.
Wow. So, yeah, that had to be incredibly genuine.
I love art. I can't even imagine going through all that.
Yeah. No, right, no.
Just no.
I mean, that's a long time. That was a process.
Yeah. He's like, okay, guys, you know, take lunch, whatever, I don't know. And then rigs up all this stuff in the interim and puts them back on set and bam.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you would crap.
Uh-huh. They would definitely be having to, I'd be having to change my pants. They'd be having to change the sheet, something. I will 100% admit there is no way I could deal with all of that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, Totoro, you said you thought he was a strange choice.
You know, kind of, but not really. He does a lot of kind of artsy stuff. And he's, I don't know, he's a character actor.
Right.
I just didn't necessarily see him connecting himself, what I know of Totoro's work, with a Stephen King film. And once I saw him in that movie, I don't know why I thought that.
Right.
I thought he was actually pretty freaking perfect. I mean, I liked this movie, and I love Johnny Depp. Don't get me wrong, but Totoro was amazing.
Just like Johnny Depp stole the show in Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Yep.
Totoro exactly. Stole the show here.
Well said, ma'am. Exactly. You know, as soon as he showed up, like, who is this?
Right.
And he kind of kept like that through the whole, he was the monster, if you will. And
he played it off so perfectly.
Oh, man, for sure.
You know why he was in this movie?
Well, you know what? No. Please actually answer that question.
His same reason that, I can't call her name. The woman who played Loki's mom in the MCU. Renee Russo. Same reason she was in those movies, the Thor movies. Because his son was a big fan of Stephen King. And pretty much just begged him to do it.
Right. You know, I thought it was a surprise. Okay, I gotcha. Sure.
Yeah, just because his son, you know, was a big Stephen King fan, was like, oh, come on, it's Stephen King. You gotta do it. And now Stephen King actually traded the rights for this movie. He didn't sell them. He traded them.
Okay.
There was a series back in the day, 2004 or so, called Kingdom Hospital.
Right. I do remember Kingdom Hospital vaguely.
Stephen King owns the rights to Kingdom Hospital and traded them for the rights to this movie. And the references in the movie, you know, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch, because there's so many of them. Night of the Living Dead, Hunter S. Thompson, several others. A couple of John Wayne's movies are referenced in this film. But of course, Hunter S. Thompson is Rum Diaries and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. He also ended up being a very good friend of Johnny Depp's.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
famously.
Oh, yeah. Johnny actually paid to have his ashes shot out of a cannon.
Right.
Yeah. There's a copy of the Rum Diary written by Hunter S. Thompson on the desk when Mort comes in and drops his hat down. There's a copy of Rum Diaries on the desk.
That's cool.
And We're talking about art. Have you ever heard of a Belgian surrealist painter, René Magritte? I think I'm pronouncing that properly. René Magritte?
Mm-mm. Is it R-E-N-E?
R-E-N-E. M-A-G-R-I-T-T-E.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know him for that one picture of the guy wearing the suit with the green apple in front of his face.
It was that one of his that had the mysterious man in a bowler hat in it.
That's him. That's right.
Does he look like anyone familiar? Shooter. John Shooter wore the bowler hat.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. What? Wait a minute. What? See, I remember that painting from the Thomas Crown Affair, and that's really the only reason I kind of knew about that.
Well,
but he did wear that freaking hat. He did wear that freaking hat.
This artist has used that image in several of his works. He often uses the mysterious man in the bowler hat in his works. And this was kind of a, pardon the expression, hats off to him.
All right. Did you literally do that?
Yes, I did.
Spontaneously, or were you?
No, that was spontaneous. That was definitely a spontaneous moment.
Awesome.
Oh, and it was also one of King's very few PG-13 adaptations. Most of his are rated R.
Rated R. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see that, though, sure.
Yeah.
It wasn't overly violent. It was more of a cerebral picture.
It really was. I mean, however, there's a quote. I had to actually go to YouTube. Because I didn't remember hearing this quote, and I thought I would have. But at one point, John Shooter tells Mark Rainey that he looks like, quote, the kind of guy who's on the lookout for a head he can knock off with a shovel. Which is exactly how he kills Ted, the wife's lover.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, I thought I would remember that line, really.
Yeah. There's a lot of wit that's going on in this episode that we're doing here.
Oh, there is. And I'm trying to remember. I think what Lily Rose was born in, I want to say 93? If I had one of my several other notebooks, I would have that at my fingertips. However, I do not. Let me see. But I do believe Lily was born in, I want to say, 93 or 96. Jack was born a few years later. Depp actually used his son's influence in one of the scenes in this movie, which I found really, really, really cool.
Okay, let's talk about
it. In the scene where everything is becoming clear, his mind is starting to pick up on things it didn't notice before. It's actually, you know, it's starting to come clear to him as to what exactly is going on in this movie. And yes, I'm trying very hard not to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it. He starts repeating rah, 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 over and over again. Well, he took that from his son when Jack was pre-verbal. That's what he would do when a situation or something confused him. That was the sound he would make, was rah. So Johnny felt that the character would be so confused at this point that there would be nothing, no words to describe it. There would be no way to verbalize it. At that point, the character would become pre-verbal again, hence the rah, rah, rah.
Wow. It's actually kind of beautiful.
Yeah. Say what you want about Johnny. He loves his kids.
Yeah.
Oh, and Johnny Depp and Charles Dutton appear together in another movie.
Okay.
It's one of my absolute least favorite movies of Johnny Depp's.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think I like Mordecai better than I like this one.
Wow.
Anybody? Okay. Anybody who's heard that podcast knows that I really didn't like Mordecai. Nick of Time in 1995.
Oh my God. What? What?
Yep.
Okay, you're going back into the vault for that one. What?
I always do. And Timothy Hutton, we were talking about him earlier.
Yeah.
Played in the Stephen King adaptation, Dark Half.
Holy crap! Yes, he did! What?
Now, if you think about it, there's another similarity between this movie and The Dark Half. Don't say it.
I already know it.
Oh, yeah. And
a couple of booze-soaked writers.
Exactly. That's one way to put it.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody knows, you know, with The Shining, I mean, that was basically him, you know. Just,
right. Totally losing his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was one actor that was offered a role. Unfortunately, that's all the information I could find. He was offered a role, but could not accept due to a scheduling conflict that I would have loved to have seen in this movie. Ving Rhames.
Oh, wow. It's the investigator, right?
It doesn't say. I could not find out what role he was offered and had to turn down. Looked a couple of different places, could not find it, but I would assume the investigator.
Yeah, well, the characters, there's not a lot of characters.
That he would fit.
Right. You know, he wasn't more, I don't know, maybe the sheriff. Maybe he could have been dead.
I'm so sorry, you reminded me of something.
How's that?
Oh, no, I hadn't thought about the sheriff until you said it, since I found out a very interesting fact about the sheriff.
Okay.
His name was David Newsom. I happen to have been married to a David Newsom. I just found that really funny.
So weird.
I know. Well, that and his latest movie is Jeanne du Barry.
Yeah.
Jen Barry is the name of the Facebook account for this podcast.
Okay. Right.
Hey, I'm all about the 6 degrees of separation or less.
Yeah.
Any of the DVD commentary that you hear with the director, that was recorded on the day the movie was released before its release on March 4th, 2004. Oh. So, any of the commentary that is on the DVD that was all recorded just before the movie hit its release time on the day it was released. I was like, wow, how long did they hold on to that before that? Of course, DVDs, I don't know, when did...
Yeah, no, that seems about right. I mean, I could. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I've still got VHS tapes.
Now you're telling your age.
You want me to tell it even further? I still have Betamax.
Oh, come on. All right. You still got Betamax tapes?
I do.
You still have Betamax tapes? No, you
I
don't.
I do still have Betamax tapes.
We are going to have to talk about this after this podcast. I don't want to go on a further tangent, but that's going to be like a 2-hour conversation. I actually have a single laser disc.
Laser disc? barely. That was like
between
DVD and VHS, right?
It was kind of the VHS and Betamax days.
I'm trying to think.
Oh yeah, Laserdisc.
I probably don't remember them because I don't think I ever owned one.
Yeah, no, almost nobody did, hon.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better.
And you know, actually, I'm going to check it out. It was released December 11, 1978.
Wow.
And it was basically a giant LP-sized
Oh, CD. My goodness, yes!
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
now
it was like
I know
the
what
size
you're talking.
Of a huge record, right?
And it was just as delicate.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
You didn't touch that. No, not at all. Nope, don't put your hands on it.
Well, it didn't catch on because you couldn't tape like you could with Betamax and VHS.
Right.
You basically bought a Laserdisc and that was the movie.
Right. Yeah, there was no recording off of the TV or any of that stuff, so.
Right.
Yeah. So. And of course, computers were like not even a consideration for the household at that point, so.
No, ma'am.
Okay, got another question for you, babe.
Okay.
If I say Johnny Depp, serial killer, besides this movie, without thinking about this movie at all, if I say Johnny Depp, serial killer, what's the first character that pops into your head?
So, you know.
You're thinking too much. What's the first character?
You know, when I think Johnny Depp and serial killers, I was going to like From Hell, which we did. I think that might be from last week.
Yeah, but that's not Johnny Depp playing a serial killer.
Right. That's the only, I don't know, it's like a role?
Sweeney Todd?
Yeah.
The Damon Barber of Seville?
Yeah.
I think that's the
only... One of my very least... favorite.
Are you kidding me? I love that movie.
I was not a fan.
Of course, you're not a big fan of Helena Bonham Carter either.
Yeah, I didn't like Harry Potter. I didn't like a lot of musicals. I've got like 4 musicals that I really, really love, and the rest of them I really, really hate. And
speaking of musicals, remind me after the podcast, I got to send you a clip of the kid that plays, not the kid, but the young guy that wants to rescue Joanna. He's a musician, and he's really good.
Wow, no kidding.
I will send you the clip that I have of him. But yeah, there are 2 Sweeney Todds in this movie.
Okay.
Johnny Depp, of course.
Yeah.
And Len Caro, the one who actually did play Sheriff Dave Newsom, was the originator of the character on Broadway.
That's nuts. you kind of could have led with that. No kidding. So he was the original Broadway Sweeney Todd.
Yes, he was. And why would I have led with that? I wanted to ask you the question first.
Okay, true. I wouldn't have got it, but that's a really, really great tidbit.
Yeah, I just thought that was really interesting, the link between the Broadway and the screen performance.
Mm-hmm.
And, this was caught on camera. It wasn't supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be part of the film, but they liked it so much, they put it at the very end of the credits. Very end of the credits, you can very briefly hear Johnny Depp singing Shortening Bread. It's something that he used to sing to his kids. Mama loves shortening, shortening, shortening. Mama loves shortening, shortening bread. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. You can briefly, and he would, he would do that kind of under his breath, like when he was concentrating on other things, because it's something that he would sing to his kids.
Wow.
They caught it, and they put it at the end of the film, at the end of the credits. With his upcoming North American tour, I figured that would be an interesting bit of trivia there.
That is interesting, interesting trivia. Now I'm thinking about it. Wow.
That actually is on YouTube, I believe.
Yeah, it's certainly worth checking out.
But yeah, there's... Oh. One more reference. I think, yeah, we're at about 10 minutes to go here. Night of the Living Dead was another movie that terrified me. I still, to this day, have an issue with the whole zombie apocalypse thing.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
There is the scene where Mort picks up a rock, breaks the car window to get to his ex-wife. That scene is taken directly from 1968's Night of the Living Dead. The cemetery scene, the camera angle is the same, the position is the same. They worked it until it was identical for the scene.
Wow.
Yeah. Very creepy.
Yeah.
Full Metal Jacket. Yeah. Full Metal Jacket was also referenced. On the phone when Mort answers.
Yeah, we talked about this. Yeah. Is that you, John Wayne?
Is that you, John Wayne? Yep.
Is that me?
Yep, and of course the man who shot Liberty Valance, 1962, John Wayne. Mort calls the investigator that he hires both John Wayne and Pilgrim. Well, that's what John Wayne calls James Stewart's character in The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance as Pilgrim. Everybody knows that line. What are you doing, Pilgrim? You know, how you doing, Pilgrim?
Right, right.
If you don't know anything else, you know John Wayne's voice saying that word. So, another reference. But yeah. David kept this, him and Johnny Depp shared the same birthday. Different years, I think.
Oh, weird.
I think. I did not have time to look up Kep's year of birth. So, but yeah, they're both born on June 9th.
June 9th.
Which reminds me, we're going to have to start planning, and yes, I know it's early, for Hiddleston's 42nd birthday. His birthday's February.
Wow.
Matter of fact,
wow.
Guess what day?
Don't know.
February 9th.
Okay, wow. Wow. And he'll be turning...
42. Yeah, he will be 42, and by that time, he will probably be a married man and a daddy.
That's right. So interesting how... And how old is Depp?
Depp is 59. He will be 60 on June 9th.
Yeah. I love how there's, you know, truly an 18-year difference in these two actors.
I am still trying to find... Because I've heard... Hiddleston talk about seeing Jurassic Park for the first time. It's several different movies that he's talked about, you know, when he was younger and he went to go see these. I'm trying to find if he ever mentions going to see, say, Edward Scissorhands or Nightmare on Elm Street or,
oh,
you know, something with Johnny Depp in it. That would be an interview I would love to have.
That is interesting. I just watched an interview yesterday. I love the show that's on Amazon called The Boys.
Oh, yeah.
It's a superhero show. And the guy that's the main antagonist, he's the bad guy. In the first season, his boss and lover was Elizabeth Shue. And Elizabeth Shue was the love interest in the original Karate Kid. And the guy that Remember her? Elizabeth, underappreciated, beautiful Elizabeth Shue. But during this interview, the guy that plays Homelander, his name's Anthony Starr, he's like, you know, I love working with her because she's a fantastic actress, but she was my very first crush. He's like, and I'm not trying to age her, but I was just so angry. And, you know, it's like, guys, you know, Ralph Macchio, you know, and the guy that played, you know, the kid from Cobra Kai, he's like, how could you treat her like this? I love her so much. He was like, I was 14.
He literally said that, I was 14?
Yeah, he was like, she was kind of one of my first crushes, you know, my first cinematic crush. And I really love working with her. And it's like somewhere around like an 18-year kind of difference in how you have that gulf.
And the thing about it is, go ahead.
Well, you know, we've got, you know, we talk about Hiddleston, and he's got quite, I mean, he's turning 42 years old. He's got quite the resume. And then you look at Johnny Depp's work, and he's been working since, geez.
Right. He's been working
for 30-plus
years.
Right. Yeah, that kind of gulf.
But in Elizabeth Shue's defense, seeing the two of them on screen together, I would not have imagined the age difference was that much. She is still absolutely fantastically beautiful.
She's gorgeous.
That she is.
And I'm just going to throw this out there. It's a quick 30-second thing. Maybe it's a topic between you and me, or maybe it's a topic for the blog. But apparently on Netflix, Tim Burton is doing a Wednesday Addams show.
Yeah.
And it's not Christina Ricci.
No. And it's not Johnny Depp. Yeah, that was very sad. That is one of the reasons why Burton bowed out of doing the latest Addams Family, is because he wanted Christina Ricci as Morticia and he wanted Johnny Depp as Gomez.
How perfect would that have been?
Exactly. But, of course, they said absolutely not, so...
And it failed.
Yeah, it failed.
If you would have had Ricci and Depp, it would have been completely successful. Oh, I really do think so.
I think it would have been phenomenal.
Yes.
But, one more thing. I know we're about at time. You were asking about differences in the book and the movie.
Yeah.
In King's book, the titles of Rainey and Shooter's stories are reversed. In the book, Sowing Season belongs to Mort Rainey and Secret Window, Secret Garden belongs to John Shooter. In the movie, it's reversed. So.
See.
But other than that,
listen, you should also throw in the bit of trivia that kind of blew my mind first. How did Mort Rainey get his name? Please.
How Mort Rainey got his name.
Yes.
Okay. And this is actually, there is a scene in the movie where he picks this item up along with two others at the local grocer's. He got his name from a box of Morton's salt. Everybody knows the Morton salt girl where she's holding the umbrella. It's raining. Mort Rainey. There you go.
Right. Love it.
Yeah, I thought that was... And, of course, that was a King thing. That was not just the movie thing. That was Stephen King.
Right. Yeah. That was him actually writing.
Right. So, yeah, if you ever want to know where he gets some of his character names from, there you go.
something totally random, literally within 3.5 feet of his left arm.
Right. God. In that case, I would have to name my character Messy Room. Miss Aster instead of Disaster. But yeah, so we are coming up on time, and I do believe, with the exception of the list of movies that refer to this movie, which you can find on IMDb if you would like to check that out, I think that's it. Lots more connections between Hiddleston and Depp. Lots more info. And what do you want to do next week?
So, we're going to do a Hiddleston ep. Kind of thought that maybe we could explore some of Hiddleston's connections with other actors, actresses, and projects.
Sure.
Maybe.
What do you think? Maybe you want to do an MCU episode?
Yeah.
Hey,
you know,
that's way too broad. Pick a branch of the MCU, not Thor.
I would love to explore his connections with what I thought was the first and the one that kind of started to bring it to prominence with the Iron Man movies.
Perfect. That sounds like a plan. We will definitely have to do that next week. So focus on RDJ and connections to Hiddleston. Sounds great.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Do not forget, we do have that phone line open. And that is one thing I don't have written down at my fingertips. Let's see. Would you happen to have that right offhand?
No, but it's really because it's new. It's something that we're trying. And, of course, it's posted on the blog.
I've got it right here. I knew it. Just give me a second. Okay, that phone number, guys, if you want to call us instead of emailing us, is 765-681-7313. And I am not going to guarantee we will answer, but I will guarantee if you leave a name, a phone number, and an area, a region of residence, so we don't call you at 4 or 5 in the morning or 3 in the morning and wake you up, make you mad. One of us will get back to you.
Yeah, give us your time zone, actually, certainly for some.
Time zone, country,
right.
What have you, because we do have listeners in both Japan and Germany. So,
yeah,
just let us know where you're calling from, just the general area. You don't have to be specific, and we will get back with you. Of course, there's always the blog, devheadshiddlestoners.com. There's the email, devheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. And now we've got the phone number, too. So find us. You got something to say? Let us know. No hate speech. Other than that, we're good.
Yeah.
I think that about covers it, doesn't it?
Yep. And, you know, I'm going to have to watch the movie again, and it's really making me want to kind of go back and look at some Stephen King books.
Absolutely. Yeah, I may have to give The Shining another shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, we're going to be updating the blog a bit more frequently now, so be safe, love over hate, and...
Love over hate.
Absolutely, love over hate. Always choose love. So we'll see you guys next week, and until then, see ya.
Bye.